Well, this hour, while we continue chatting with Jason Bowden-Smith about his work in the dark about technology, we'll take your phone calls, questions, and maybe your stories, too, where high technology has affected you or somebody in your family. So we'll be back in a moment with the calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jason Bowden-Smith with us. His book is called, of course, In the Dark, and his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. Jason, with all this technology occurring, it's going to continue, I believe. It's not going to go backwards. So what do we do about it? How do we, you know, protect ourselves?
Well, there's a number of things we need to do. The main thing we need to focus on is getting our mitochondria healthy. And the way we do that is by getting as much of the good EMF, the natural grounding from barefoot walking, access to the sun in the morning and some UVB during the day. Then we need to minimize as much exposure as we can. Now, I'm not a Luddite. I love technology. JBS Technologies is a technology company. And because society has decided to go into this kind of artificial intelligence, nearly transhumanist agenda, we're going to have to work out ways to deal with it. And there are some great products that are coming on the market, but I always tell people reconnecting back to nature is number one. We have to do that first, and then secondly, we can look at a number of different issues to minimize exposure. It's all in the book. We can't have time to go through it today, but maybe if we picked a Wi-Fi router, and we'll talk about how to deal with that. So the first option I would do is eliminate it. Why do you need a Wi-Fi router? You can just hardwire all your computers.
And a Wi-Fi router picks up the signal and pushes it even further, right?
It does. It allows you to roam around your house. It travels so far that neighbors, you know, upstairs, downstairs, next door, you can have, if you go to your phone and see how many connections are looking to mate with your phone, like, you'll see 20 or 30 different routers trying to connect with your particular phone.
But if you're password protected, they can't get to you if you're password protected, right?
Well, no, the signal can get to you.
The signal
can. They can't actually access your phone, but the signal from their router is affecting you where you are. Because if your phone can pick it up,
so can you.
So we need to look at, first, to test how much we're getting. Then we need to look at potential engineering controls. They could be shielding. And we get down to the very end, which is what I call PPE, which is personal protection equipment. Now, we can't put a respirator on because our mitochondria doesn't have a mouth. There's new quantum technology coming along that's looking very exciting. There's a product called Blue Shield that I particularly like. The research is very promising. I'm not putting hand on heart saying it's a product that's, you know, guaranteed to work, because I can't make such claims. The science is not there yet, but it is coming along to address the blue light issue and to get more of the natural light from a technology. There's a great product called the Quantlet. It's Quantlet that's coming out early next year. It works through your wrist. We won't go into the details, but that'll give you your IR and your UV light naturally, plus do some cooling effect as well. So there's more and more technology coming out to help counteract what we're seeing, which is just an explosion of Wi-Fi connected everything. And we have to look at everything we can to minimize it. So we go from the very top, elimination, right to the bottom of personal protection, and try and do everything in between. It's all outlined in the book, In the Dark. It uses a methodology that industrial hygiene use. It's called hierarchies of control, and it applies quite well to environmental hazards for environmental health.
So should you shield your house at all with anything, Jason?
My personal opinion is I don't like to shield people or houses. I don't mind shielding equipment. So I might shield a smart meter on the front of the house so the signal doesn't come in. If you're electro-hypersensitive, you've got to take things much more seriously. Really, you have to move out of the city. If you have EHS, which is a clinical symptoms of electro-pollution, these are people who just can't, like my mother, couldn't. We're allergic to the city. They just have to move. There's no other choice. Those who are in between can look at shielding your house. It's a very expensive, very complicated, specialized job. and I think we should use it as one of the last resort options. Some people I know use it's like a mosquito net that you have in the tropics. It's like a Wi-Fi net you can put over your bed canopy. And some people have
it's like a Faraday cage, right?
Yeah, it's like a mini Faraday cage. You've got to be careful with the Faraday cages because if you shield your whole house up, you can't have any gadgets inside. None. Because the signals will be bouncing off the walls and coming back to you. So you've got to be careful with Faraday cages. But at night, I really stress, your bedroom is a sanctuary. It's for making love and sleeping, and that is it. No TV, no digital alarm clocks. Don't take your iPhone to bed with you. That's just crazy. You want it completely dark. Some people have an automatic switch. They can just turn off all electrical wires and have this really peaceful sanctuary. And it's really important because that's where you go to rejuvenate at night. It's when your body's going to repair. And if it's being hit with all these Wi-Fi signals, all this electrical smog, it can't repair because the cells are vibrating. They're getting mildly electrocuted and they've got all this oxidative stress going on while it's trying to sleep. And so you won't get better. It's really important to have a sanctuary. Your bedroom is a sanctuary. No TV, nothing but you and your loved one.
All right, let's go to our calls. First-time caller, Michael in Ventura, California. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, George. Hi, Jason.
Hi there.
Hey, I'd like to talk to you about something really serious that's going on here in Ventura. I went to the city council meeting on Monday the 5th, and they approved, and I don't know if I can say the name of this company. Can I say the name of this company?
Well, let's not use that, but go ahead with the story.
Okay, well, they granted $9.6 million to a certain company for the installation and purchase of smart water meters.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
going to install them on everybody's houses. And these are not smart meters. These are smart water meters. And as I was sitting there listening to them speak with this certain company that got the contract, they asked them if there have been any tests to see for the effects on water. They said no. They asked if there have been any tests on the effects that it will have on human life, and they said no. And they said that they don't know what the effects would be on human life. And I believe it was they've already spent the money, and they've already paid for the purchase and installation of these things. And Ventura is a trendsetter. What they pass here in Ventura is usually accepted abroad across the country. I came here from Kansas.
It's like a test market, isn't it?
Yeah, I came here to Kansas because we were having to find the source of certain problems we were having back in Kansas. And I found them.
Well, and they've also eliminated jobs, too, these smart meters. They don't need people to physically go read them anymore.
Yeah, and these are going to be put right on the water line, and I believe they're going to radiate the water. They're going to put them on all the houses and all the businesses. And and they didn't run any advertisement in this, or didn't say anything about it in the newspaper before or after. It was all hush-hush.
They just show up at your house and put them in.
That's what they're going to do. And this, I think that this is going to cause problems. It's going to radiate people's water, people that are going to be watering their gardens, all these farmlands on the outskirts of town is going to have them. You're not going to be able to take a shower, drink water.
All right, let's get Jason's take on that. What do you think, Jason? They're going to radiate the water? What's going to happen?
I'm not so concerned about the water itself being contaminated. I'd be more concerned with the actual, if it's a metal copper pipe, because we're talking about electricity here. So we need metal, we need wires, we need ions. So the actual water itself, I'm not as concerned as I am with all these different meters. Because you brought up a great point. It's not just the electrical meter. It's the water meter. It's the gas meter. It's anything they could monitor, putting an automatic smart gadget. And I'd recommend going onto the internet and looking up. There's lots of Stop Smart Meter associations. These are concerned citizens like yourself who are getting together and taking it to the regulators. But we're up for a bit of a challenge because, like your town, my town, is also mandated to have this technology put in. You can't object to it. And if you go in there with a medical certificate and push it really hard, they may put a digital meter on, which is not Wi-Fi enabled, but it is. It's a lot better, but it's not the old analog ones. So it's a fight. It really is. And they don't want to say anything. They don't want to tell anyone, because the last thing they need is having communities turning up and causing them some delays.
Jason, I will have my smartphone about an arm's length away from me in bed when I go to bed. I've got it on the stand or on the floor, so I can grab it in case somebody calls me in the morning. Is that smart? No.
No, not in the bedroom. Nothing in the bedroom. Like, can you just get a landline and then, or put it outside it and put the volume up so if someone calls in the middle of the night for an emergency, you can hear it. I would not have any wireless gadget in my room whatsoever. You can definitely get a phone system set up where you'll hear it ringing outside of your bedroom.
And do you think that we've had a higher incidence of issues, health issues, overall because of this?
Yes. And I think it's actually been proven. There's a guy called Richard Lee who studied the U.S. Health databases and looked at the 40 diseases between 1990 and I think it was 2009. And over that decade, we've seen increases of chronic fatigue like 10,000%, bipolar 7,000%, autism 2,000%, and just like hundreds, if not thousands of percentages for all these modern diseases have increased from 1990, when we really started getting serious with our technology, to a few years ago. It's insane. Right? It's totally insane. Now, people say, well, that's caused by something else. Well, it can't be caused by genetics, because genetics can't change in one generation. That's impossible. People say, oh, it's GMOs or it's all the food, and that plays a role. So may vaccines. So may other things. But you're not going to see such a spike so well correlated, the coefficient correlations of 0.9 squared, for anything else. It's just obvious. If you look at the data, it's obvious. This technology is really affecting us, and we need to do something about it. Someone needs to invent something to counteract these waves. The information,
and somebody will,
coming off these carrier waves. That they will. We'll get some engineers, some scientists. But, George, what does an alcoholic do to recover from alcoholism? They admit they've got a problem.
Yes.
That's the first thing they have to do. So we have to admit we've got an issue before anything's going to get done, and that's the problem. So that's why we need to all gather, get our information, take on the regulators, take on as many people as we can, educate the schools. To that end, I'm launching a new online education platform, totally free, no ads. It's called EMF Warriors. I'm bringing together some of the world's greatest experts to curate the content, and it's a really cool learning platform. I'm going to fund it all because it's really important to me that this issue gets out and about. And if you go to my website, jbstech.com.au, don't forget the splash of gold at the end. That's for Australia. And then you'll see the banner on the homepage. Just join up there, and we'll be launching that next year.
Super.
And we're hoping to collate as much information as we can, and people can gather at their leisure and get educated.
Let's go to Toronto now. Fausto is with us on the international line. Hello there, Fausto.
Hi, George Norrie. With regards to these little, I don't know what they're called, but they look like little buttons you can stick on the back of your cell phone that are supposed to allegedly cancel out radiating frequencies from cell phones.
I've seen those.
Yeah, I've seen them not work. Which ones are legit? That's my first question. My second question before I get clipped off the air is in this Matchbox apartment I reside in, I'm right next to Bell Canada, and I counted about 15 towers on that building.
Oh.
And then I'm next to another building.
Wow.
That has about 15 antennas. I think that's what I was trying to say. And I can hardly understand anything on the AM frequency when I listen to AM to Coast to Coast AM, and it's really stressful. I don't know if there's dangerous frequencies going throughout this house, and I can hardly enjoy listening to radio at nighttime, even at this hour. Are these dangerous frequencies? And how can I test on the cheap to know if there's any radiation cancer-causing frequencies throughout this house?
Can you get like a meter or something like that?
You can. A lot of places will hire them. So you can just hire them and test them yourself, or you can hire a building biologist or a hygienist to do it for you. I can guarantee you if you've got 15, 20 cell towers and antennas literally outside your window, you've got an issue. And I don't think you need to test. I'd like you to test to confirm it, because I don't want you to make rash decisions and I can't tell you what to do. But there's no way I'd be living there.
What about these little diffuser stickers that the people have been putting on cell phones and things like that?
I'm not a huge fan of them. There is some evidence that particular carrier waves or signals can be blocked by these stickers, but as soon as they change the carrier wave, it's not effective. And I think they're very hit and miss, and I don't like them.
All right, let's go out to Yucca Valley, California. Tessa's with us now. Good morning, Tessa.
Hello. How very nice to speak with you both.
Good. Thank you.
Listen, my question is, I've been doing a lot of study on the Rh negative blood factor. I am Rh negative. And some of the things that are common among people that are Rh negative is a sensitivity to electricity and a sensitivity to light. There's a lot of other things, too. My question to you is, have you come across anything in your study that correlates that Rh negative blood type, which did not appear on the Earth until about 35,000 years ago, with some of these sensitivities such as you described with your mom? And I'm going to take the answer off the air.
All right, thanks, Tessa. Did you do any studies with regards to blood, Jason?
Not in relation to Rh negative or positive. I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't like to give medical recommendations. What I'd recommend to the caller is to go to a website called drjackcruse.com, spelled K-R-U-S-E. He has a wonderful forum specifically designed for patients and doctors. It's very technical and it goes very deep. But if you join the forum, it's free, I think, for a certain level, you can ask that audience the same question. And if anyone knows, that group of people will know. They're amazing. They're really got a lot of great stuff there, especially for patients and doctors.
Jason, are all countries moving in this technological direction?
Absolutely. Every country I'm aware of. The slowest to move was Russia. And they're only just starting getting onto the digital age. They've known about, they call it microwave sickness. Back in the 60s, they did something quite sneaky during the Cold War. And they said to the Americans, we're really concerned about this microwave frequencies. You know, can we talk about it?
They bombarded our embassy with them, didn't they?
They did. They put a wooden clock and put an antenna in there and bombarded the embassy for a decade.
Let's come back and take some more calls. Final calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final segment with Jason Bowden-Smith as we talk about his work In the Dark. And In the Dark, is it going to get better or worse, Jason? The way things are going right now, better or worse for us?
Worse. Much worse.
Not good, huh?
It's not good. It really isn't. And I tell people, and then I don't mean to be funny here, but there's two ways to measure harmful EMF. One way is with a meter. The other way is watching the incidence of disease.
Yeah.
These modern diseases are just popping up everywhere. You're seeing reports of preschool children with diabetes. That's just unheard of. You've got teenagers getting dementia. Seeing the addiction of kids to this technology.
If you take care of yourself, though, Jason, I mean, if you stay in shape, you watch your weight, your exercise, can you keep your immune system boosted enough to fight this?
You can, but you have to reconnect with nature as well. You just can't rely on general exercise. If you go to the gym every day under artificial lights and not get any sunshine, you will not be healthy. You may look healthy, you may look muscular, but your testosterone levels will be low. If you listen to the fitness podcasts, you hear lots of stories about gym junkies who think they're so fit and healthy. When they get their bloods done, they are shocked. So you need to reconnect with nature. The more you can do that, the healthier you're going to be. You just can't live indoors all the time. We're not meant to do that. That's not how our biology was set up. So those of us who understand that, they walk around barefoot on the beach or in the park, they get some morning sun, they limit their exposure to technology, they wear blue blocking glasses at night when they're watching TV or computer screens, then they're going to protect their mitochondria, and if they protect their mitochondria, then they'll be a lot more healthy than everybody else. But, yeah, I think living in the city life is going to be difficult moving forward, because the rollout of all these smart gadgets and the smart cities is just going to cause more and more problems.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I used to breed racehorses. And in the winter, when we wanted to start the breeding, because the earlier that the foal was born the following season, the more stamina it had as a racehorse, because all horses, no matter what month they're born in, are all considered the same age in racing. So, you know, a two-year-old that was born in February is stronger than a two-year-old that may be born in April or March. They've got literally a leg up on them. So what we would do in order to get the horse, the female horse, rolling, as we say, you would put them under artificial lights, because it was wintertime, cloudy most of the time, put them under artificial lights in the barn to get them in their cycle. But what I found was that the horses that were born under natural conditions seemed to be better racehorses. Isn't that interesting?
It makes complete sense. We're not meant to live under artificial sun. We're meant to live under natural sun. Our biology is built for that. So it makes complete sense to me.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Hey, George. My opinion is that the Fourth Amendment says that nobody's got the right to come up in my house and take my analog appliances from me, my one appliance I have, which is an old refrigerator, and force me to buy a smart appliance. And I'm sure that it would be a rhetorical question to ask who's supposed to pay for these smart appliances. I ain't got any way to wash nor cook, and I'd like to see somebody force me to have a way to wash or cook.
Well, that's an interesting take. When they start pushing and leaking these things into appliances, Jason, I assume they're not going to force us to get rid of the old ones, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. But when it comes to the smart meters, they're going to put it in for free. They're not going to charge you for putting it in.
That's right. No, they're doing that now here in St. Louis. They're putting in smart meters. And sometimes they don't even tell you. They just show up and they're installing them.
Correct. So I know people who put a padlock on their meter box. They put a big sign, do not install a smart meter. I'm suffering from EHS. And then they'll get a phone call and they're going to negotiate with each different provider. With appliances, you've got your old washing machine, keep it. You can repair it, keep it for as long as you can.
And if it's a Maytag, it'll go on forever. What is the motivation behind doing this with all this technology? What are they getting out of it? Efficiency, saving money, making money? What is it?
That's the cover story. It's all about efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're it's all about productivity, but it's not real productivity. It's not productivity for humanity. It may be productivity for some company or some profitability angle, but it's not productivity for humanity. In fact, it's making us more inhumane, and that's one of my concerns. On a deeper, darker level, it's all about surveillance, control, and dare I say, manipulation,
That could be the true motivation.
I think so. Like the deep state and the powers who want to be have always been about control. And now rather than, you know, I think your show appreciate this more than most, and I don't talk about it very much, but I'm sure someone's spoken about the Giza stones where they were going to wipe out the population and leave 500 million. Well, that's never going to happen because now they've got the control technology to look after 8, 10 million people with no problem. So they have us under their thumb, and they're really pushing down on us.
Can we ever go back to the old ways, or is it too late?
No, it's too late, and I don't think humanity's meant to go backwards. I think we need to embrace who we are, understand that we are human beings. We are not, you know, GMO humans, which is what they're talking about now with designer babies and all this genetic modification. They started with plants, but they're moving on to humans now. And that's the agenda. I think we're at a crossroads. It's, are you going to play for the team that kind of bats for humanity, or are you going to play for the opposition that's got this transhumanistic agenda? You know, I'm human. I'm a very proud human being. I know I've incarnated on this planet to evolve and to have my experiences and to be part of nature.
Well, it's
we can. Sorry?
It's amazing what they're doing. I mean, now they're experimenting with making children out of three humans. I mean, yeah. Or chimeras, you know, using animal parts in humans.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what they're doing.
Yeah, for me that's insane. But humans are humans. They make mistakes, and we're making some big ones right now.
I mean, what do they do legally? Who's your father? He is, and he is. You know, I mean, wow, the legalese for all this is going to be amazing. All right, to the phones again we go. West of the Rockies, George in Fife, Washington. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hi. Evening, Mr. Nouri. And,
you too.
Mr. Bottombrook. I just want to say, Mr. Nouri, thank you very much for what you do. Your information has really changed my perspective.
You're welcome, George. Thank you.
On everything.
Well, thank you for having a wonderful name, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's a great name. my question to Mr. Bottombrook is, what's the effect of Bluetooth devices on the body and organs? And what would you recommend to people who can't get a house out in the sticks and have to, like, you know, go into apartment units? Because, you know, apartments are so close to each other.
Sure.
And when I turn my laptop on or my phone on, I just see a list, long list of Wi-Fi
everywhere. Everywhere. All right, that's a good question. And what do you do?
You've got to decide what's more important, your health or your living abode. That's the first thing you've got to decide. If you're going to decide to live in what I'm calling the new contaminated areas, which are inner city living full of technology, you really have to look at looking after mitochondria. You have to get into nature as much as possible. You have to take breaks. You have to get out of there and go for a holiday on, you know, some tropical island on the equator to really maximize your exposure to sun and grounding earth fields.
And not everybody can move, Jason. We're stuck. A lot of people are stuck where they are.
I don't necessarily believe that. I think everyone has a choice. And if they really want to move, they can. I understand they've got family, work, you know, and other commitments, and they need to stay there. It's like, I need to stay in the city as well. So, yeah, it's too big a question to answer in a couple of seconds, but there are things you can do to protect yourself. But number one is get in touch with nature as much as possible, and then use some mitigation techniques. If TPE is your only option, then you need to look at some of those new technologies that will help protect you. Maybe some shielding for your bedroom, like making your bedroom the sanctuary and keeping your tech out of there. So at least at night, your body's got a chance to recover.
Are we going to have any class action lawsuits? Are we going to have some law firms jump on this one day?
I think we're going to see lawsuits that dwarf tobacco and asbestos together.
Wow.
I really feel that. Now, it may take a decade or two, and it may take so many people getting so sick for the health authorities to link it to the technology, but it will happen.
Find those internal memos that say, well, yeah, we know that this is causing this and that, but we got to keep it quiet. It's one of those leaked memos will do the industry in, won't it?
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but if you want to read a great book about someone who was one of the top researchers in EMF and then became a lawyer and took on, this is back in the early days when power lines, high-density power lines were the big issue. The book is called Going Somewhere by an author called Andrew Marina, who worked with a guy called Robert O'Becker, who's probably one of the number one researchers ever in this field. So Going Somewhere by Andrew Marino. If you're interested in law, insurance, you know, liability, it's a fantastic read.
We have next Steve Truck Driving in New Mexico. Good to have you on, Steve. Go ahead.
Mr. Norrie, I just want to say thank you for the show. You rode a lot of miles with me and kept me awake many of the night.
Many more to go, Stephen.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, my question is, he sort of addressed it a minute ago by saying, you know, like making the bedroom your sanctuary. But I'm wondering about making either your house like a Faraday cage or setting aside a room in your house as a Faraday cage and keeping all the electronics out of that area, period.
How about like a safe room, Jason?
Sure. It's the same principle for your bedroom. You can have a safe room, but you can't have any technology in there.
Nothing.
Like, you wouldn't even have your TV in there. Like, it's not just wireless you need to be concerned about. It's also magnetic fields coming from appliances, and it could even be dirty electricity running through your wires in your house. So you just got to be very careful when you're building Faraday cages and shielding. You really need to have an electrosmog meter with you when you're doing all this work.
But it could be done.
Can be done.
The meters, the little EMF meters, do you recommend everybody pick one of those up?
I do, but you know, I'm a scientist, I like to test things. They're pretty cheap now. You can get a really good tri-meter, which does all three fields, for around $200. I don't want to recommend brands. There's quite a few out there. But I think it's a great tool. They get more expensive when you need to do professional testing. But if you want to test your school or, you know, I've got a friend who wants me to go around the local cafes in Byron Bay, which is the famous surfing holiday place that I'm visiting next week, so we can work out where's the best place to eat without getting zapped from all the different wireless technologies. So, it's interesting. It's very, very alarming when you see how many fields are picking up. That's one of the concerns you have. I recommend it.
Let's go to Cliff in Bristol, Tennessee. Good morning, Cliff. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
George, great show, as usual.
Thank you, sir.
You have the best guest. And Jason, you rock.
There you go, Jason.
Thank you so much. Jason knows his stuff. Let me ask you a quick question. My dad, who was a medical doctor in the early, he died in the early 90s, and he was using a cell phone. And at that time, I think they were using analog signals instead of digital.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And he actually died. He had cancer on the left side of his brain.
Jeez.
And he died within a year.
Wow.
Well, you know, it was almost like my sister,
and,
left side.
Well, my dad was a health nut. I mean, a health nut. And he died at 57. And from what you say about the signals from cell phones and all that, it just seems we've always, everybody in the family, thought the same thing, that it was very strange that he died of cancer. There is no history of cancer in our family. And but what you said about cell phones is just amazing. And I don't think people realize, just because you can't see it, it does not mean it does not exist.
So true. And again, what we recommend, folks, text if you can, not when you're driving, and use the speaker on your telephone as opposed to putting it up to your ear. you know, when you count the amount of text messages people must get during the day, if they were on the phone as long as that, they'd never get anything done, Jason.
No, and then you add in your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Snapchats, and people just won't get off their phone.
No, they won't. Cliff, thanks for the call. Next up, Janet's in Vancouver. Let's squeeze you in, Janet. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm wondering if you would ask your guest what he would recommend instead of a sunscreen, particularly for an individual that has battled skin cancer.
That would be the great question for your dermatologist. But, Jason, do you want to take a stab at that?
Sure. It's interesting that some people think that it's the sunscreen that is actually one of the problems for skin cancer. Not just the sun. Now, the best way to manage sun exposure is not to get burnt. If you're not getting burnt, you will not get skin cancer. In fact, skin cancer, particularly melanoma, is very rare from sun exposure. People don't realize that indoor people get more melanoma than people working
right
outdoor.
I just had a story last week. They said drinking a lot of white wine could cause melanoma. Crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Stick to red. But everybody needs a little sunlight. No question about that.
You'll die without it.
Exactly. And you can't just supplement with vitamin D and D3. You've got to go out and get some sunlight every once in a while.
Yes, if you haven't got a choice and there's absolutely no way you can get sun, like you're stuck in some jail and someone slips you a bottle of, you know, D supplements, then I'd take them. But otherwise, everyone can get in the sun for 10 minutes.
Jason, good luck with the work, all right? In the Dark is available all over the place, and thank you for being on the program. We really appreciate it. Jason Bowden Smith, In the Dark. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit about happiness, about bliss. It's about time we do that. Next on Coast to Coast AM.